Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Saturday. This is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful that Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, was giving me the opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all of you that are listening to this broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us. The email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2MAN @gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Praise be to God. Amen, amen. So, without further ado, for those of you who follow us, hey, you know today is sad and you know it's heart to heart. Brother Lee and the Handmaidens, and I'll be joining them. Amen. Praise be to God. And for those of you that are first-time listeners, that's what Fridays and Saturdays of the broadcast is given to heart, for Brother Lee and the Handmaidens, as they come forth to give you the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise be to God. So as we await for my brother to come on to head this off once again, I am taking this time to thank God for all you that are listening to the broadcast. May the Lord continue to bless you, your family, and your loved ones in Jesus' name. Amen. I thank God for the miracles he's performing today and more that he's about to do. Amen. Now I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
A great day, brother. I thank my God for the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we think or act, according to the power of him that worketh in us to his good will. Well, it's a wonderful, glorious day, brother. You are still here on top side of the earth by the will of God. Amen. We're held by the gravity. Thank God. So, opportunity has knocked again, and God has permitted us to have the grand opportunity to say, glory to Jesus. We acknowledge Jesus the Christ as the only hope and only deliverance and salvation for all mankind in the whole earth. And we acknowledge his death, burial, and resurrection, the blood, and his bodily return. And we acknowledge the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And we acknowledge the saints everywhere in all the earth, who seal with the blood and the Spirit of the living God. We acknowledge the coming of the last messenger, the blow the trumpet in Zion, the Elias further come. We acknowledge the greater outpouring and the working of the Holy Spirit like it was in was Moses and Elisha. And Elijah. Thank you, Lord. So, all right, dear brother, as you were saying.
Amen. I just thank God for the miracles that he's performing and what he's about to do.
And yes, we celebrate that.
Amen.
David, the prophet, the psalmist, the warrior, the king, he always celebrate. Tell us to celebrate the doing the marvelous works of our Lord daily. So we do celebrate every good work the Lord is doing. Hallelujah. And we just draw nigh to him in appreciation. Amen.
Amen.
I want to say to pray for one of the great men of God of this age, one of the great men, evangelist and prophet to the nation, has passed away, and so we make mention of his pathway that the Lord called him to open. During our time, he had over 6 years in ministry. He passed away, I think yesterday or what? And
his imprint,
impact upon the world. Yeah, we say.
Who is this?
The apostle and prophet to the nation, and evangelist, Dr. Cirillo, Maurice Cirillo.
Oh, okay.
Great man, wonderful man.
Amen.
And, we give honor to our brethren who've laid the foundation and did a mighty work in the earth. We give respect and honor to that, and how it blesses and affects our lives on earth. So we're grateful for their impact. Dr. Orsarilla was a great and mighty, wonderful, faithful man to the nation of the world. He brought millions of people to Christ. Million people was brought to the knowledge of the Lamb of God. Thousands were healed and delivered. And so we just do honor our brother who just finished his work and gone on with the pioneer and the hallmark of fame of faith. So he was a wonderful man. He was he was a Jewish Orthodox Jew, and he was in an orphan home. And this Christian woman that worked there sneaked to him, because he's an Orthodox Jew, you're not supposed to do that in the home that day, to teach him about Jesus. She sneaked it. He was 14, 15, and that's how he found out about Jesus. This Christian lady worked at this Orthodox Jewish orphan home, and he was his teacher, and it was a Christian who secretly told him about Jesus and about the Christ. And that's how he got connected. He made a great impact. He brought millions around the world to Christ and the kingdom of God. So he's a wonderful guy. So we're going to miss him. We also, we acknowledge the people that have opened the pathway to victory to millions of people that are before us. You know, in the last, Kenneth Hagin was a renowned man of faith, just like Morris Cirillo. And then right not too long after that, one of the great, great iconic men of faith and power, Oral Roberts, left. And then not too soon after that, one of the greatest evangelists of this generation, Billy Graham. Well, these men won millions of people to Christ. So we do honor and give respect and honor to those men. Excuse me. Hallelujah. And they are our brothers in faith. And so we're just grateful for the mighty works that the Lord used them to do. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. We're so great. Yeah. And that's, I was just thinking, one of his coins, before he passed, was the Lord said, declare war against the devil's war. So Brother Frito was declare war against the devil's war. And the Christian got to declare war against his war. And hallelujah. He built and just finished a great legacy, what they call a legacy center in San Diego, cost I don't know how many hundred millions. And he built that people could come around the world and see the legacy, and the ministry will continue to go on after he died. He said the Lord told him that after his death, he said many great men and women, after they died, their ministry just died with them. And he said, but the Lord told him, I don't want your ministry to die, so I want you to build this legacy so the ministry will go on after you leave. And so thank God. These men had special assignment. Oral Roberts did something nobody had done, Christian, before his time. He combined healing and medicine and built a hospital and a major university. He was the first to do such a thing. So he had a great a great call and responsibility. It's got to recognize these the work that the Lord put upon these men. I know I went and saw Oral Roberts University. It is now one of the great universities, Christian University, but it's an accredited, with all accreditations. And I went to Oklahoma. I wanted to see what the Lord had did in building this great university. And then before that, he had built a hospital and combined medicine with prayer. And I went there to see that university. It was awesome. Christians is coming from all around the world receiving their training. I went to back here some years ago. I said, I got to see that university. I've been hearing about Tulsa. I went down and saw it, and it was a wonder to behold, to see what the Lord has done through these men. Hallelujah. Thank God. So it's just great. You know, some of the God gave men a special assignment to do the work of the Lord, but build schools and universities to train people for the field and the mission work, like Kenneth Hagin, Reamer. Those who are bona fide, I feel, authentic, accredited men of God who was built schools to train people for the work in the mission field. So I just acknowledge that. Amen. Amen. Thank God. So today, this is Handmaiden Night, so I was thinking about some of the great handmaids. Can you think of how the Lord in the past has used great handmaids or women of God? Can you go anyone that stands out in your mind?
I would have to say Catherine Kuhlman is Catherine Kuhlman and Maria Wooder Edwards, two that stand out to me. Women of God, whom God used, you know, greatly. Those two sisters especially.
Yeah, I would say so. In the last 100 years, their ministry of sister, they called her, well, Catherine Kuhlman, and Amy Semper, another one before her, Amy Semper McPherson. She was the first, a woman minister, was the first Christian in the United States to have a broadcast, buy and own a broadcast station to declare the gospel. And own a broadcast station was the first one. God used a woman to be the first one to own a pastor in the United States. Amy Semper McPherson, awesome woman. And we have another woman that's had her history almost had been buried for a while. Etta Woodward, Edward, what a name, Woodward Etta. This woman was just out of how the Lord God used her, somebody. So you're right about that. I agree with that. These three women in particular stand out the last 100 years. Thank God for them. So the Lord put an imprint by some using women. So, you know, in the Bible, it gives us a list of giants in God, men of giant faith, and that stand out for us to model and to look and to learn from. And the book of Hebrew, it starts off with the first one, I think, is called an Abel. It starts out with Abel. And then it goes on to the next one, to Abel, offered to God offering that was acceptable to God, and Cain offering was not acceptable to Abel by faith. And it goes on and on. It said Abel. Who else it says? Let me see. Let's look at this hallmark. Read these. The Lord told us to mark these men's lives and their work, and consider them. Hebrew, 11?
Right.
And we can take courage and faith and learn from their faithfulness of completing their assignment. Hebrew 11, now faith is the substance. Wow. So all of our work's got to be done by faith and the direction of the Lord Jesus and the authority of his, Hebrew 11, Well, what did it say? Hebrew. You got it?
Yeah, I got it. Hebrews 11. 11
yeah.
Chapter.
This is.
So now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh.
Yeah, he still speaks to us. Their testimony and their life still speaks to us, right? So your life and your testimony after you're gone still speaks. Yeah, Rita, that's great.
By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
And you want to read a couple more, two more of the verses?
It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he shall after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went.
You know, we have been kind of exalted and commanded or invited by the Lord to read and study this, the 11th chapter of Hebrew often. He said, do it often, right?
Amen.
And I think that's some good advice the Lord gave us by his angel messenger and said, study and read the 11th chapter, Hebrew, for by all your works is going to be done by faith. It's going to require the kind of faith, just like it required of them. So they give us a memorial and a record of all these men of great faith in the Bible history, how their lives and their works, the problems, their difficulties they face. And they face some awful, awful difficulties in their walk of faith, right?
Amen.
And Amen. It said they overcame them. But I like about that, they all overcame them. Hallelujah. Wow. Did anybody in that hall of faith that stands out particular to you or your life, or one that you might say a favorite one, a life study of one of those people in the Hallmark Hall of Faith, fame, faith, stand out to you a particular one?
I would have to say Abraham. Stands out to me because the God of faith that was, you know, exemplified and even in persevering, you know, for those many years, you know, two things about him by the faith stands out with me is when the Lord spoke to him that said he would, you know, have a son, and, you know, and how many years, you know, before it, you know, actually manifests. And, you know, the other thing is that what we just read, when it said that when he was called of God, he went out not knowing where he was going. He just believed the voice of God. Listen, God, so he, you know, and we was talking
so
to
he
him
obeyed.
That day. You know, he would say, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm following God. You know what I'm saying? So that's the two things about him that stick out to me.
Okay. Abraham is called the father of our faith. You know, we refer to in the scripture as the father of faith. Hallelujah. The father of hope that's of Christ coming. He believed before he even saw it, before it come to pass. He believed it. He had heard from that Jesus was coming as the hope of deliverance. and way, way down the road, and he believed and he moved by faith. What do you think about our brother Noah in his day? Why he stands out so vividly, us catching hold to the kind of man that endured. What do you think about Noah in particular that strikes you out?
Well, what strikes me about Noah is his continue to, by faith, do and stand and still preach the message, though he faced the resistance that he faced from the people. The Bible says he was preaching righteousness. And so, therefore, you know, the Bible said during his time, they went to marrying and giving in marriage. So, Noah, we ain't paying you a bit of attention. You crazy. You know, something wrong with you. And you building an ark and it hadn't rained. And just to move with fear, as the Bible said. I mean, you know, remind you of the, you know, of little kids. You know, when you tell them you're going to get them something, you know, even if you say, hey, go get ready, they're going to get ready. They don't have to see the bike. They don't have to see, you know, what you told them you're going to get. Only thing you have to say is, hey, I'm getting this for you. You better get ready. They're going to go get ready. And that was, you know, strikes me about Noah.
Yeah. You know, the first thing that when they tell me about these great men of faith that endured, Noah was perfect in his generation. Now, when the Lord God said that about Noah, that he found this one man out of all of the earth in his day that had not corrupted himself, has not forsaken the teachings of Abel, Melchizedek, of what Noah was afterwards, but here we find out that he followed the one God that had been passed on from Abel and from Adam and all the way down. And he alone stood out in all the earth because the Lord God of Israel, but the Lord God created of Yahweh, saw this one man and one family. Isn't it amazing? One man, perfect before God in his generation, and he found this one man. And he chose this man to deliver a message to his day and his generation. And it said Noah, in particular, he was the lineage of the righteous from all the way to Abel. And from Adam, Abel, all the way down. Now, the thing about, he gave Noah a special, difficult assignment, a great responsibility and call. How do you think Noah responded to that great responsibility and call? Because only his family, total of what, 8 people, was left in the earth. Apparently, all other people of that generation had corrupted themselves with wickedness and was gone far away. And the one true God and the one righteous man in the earth was Noah and his family. So let's see how significant one matters. Do one matter? Yes, one man matters. What one does really matters, right?
Amen.
Let's think about that. One man and his family. Just one man in his day. The Bible said in the 6th chapter, I think, of Genesis, does it say? The whole earth has corrupted itself, becoming vastly evil and consumed. And the Lord God, Elohim, could not abide that wickedness, evil anymore. So he said, I'm going to destroy the earth. But before I destroy, I want everyone to get a chance, an opportunity to be saved or delivered. Isn't that just like a good God, though they was wicked? He was so just and merciful. He showed mercy to them. He said, give them a chance. I'm going to give them an open door opportunity to make a decision to be delivered for what I'm about to destroy the earth. And can you think about Noah receiving a message and a preparation from the living God and the Lord speaking to him audibly and speaking to him through angels and visions and revelation? because that's how he works. So I know he dealt with it that way because he had the most important message of his day. Do you know that message was the most important message in his generation? Do you know the Lord always in every dispensation give a particular message for that generation that stands out above everything else? So Noah had that message from the living God, and God, apparently he fellowshiped and spoke to him and visited him and through dreams and visions and angels and speaking himself, because that's the pattern of God speaks. When it's a high privileged message, when he a high and important message, he vivid himself, or he gives specific direction to an angel, or he speaks to the person himself and vivid him. He had the last message of his generation, one man and his family. That's what stands out for me. That stands out. Man, that's very significant. The third thing that stands out to me, that Noah only got help directly from the living God. I didn't hear nothing about his family doing too much. I'm sure they helped him a little. I'm sure it's, you know, Noah had what? He had three sons.
Right.
And they had wives, which is three, which total of eight people. The number eight is the number of new beginning. You know, the spiritual meaning of eight is an eternal number. And it also signifies a new beginning. Hallelujah. The Lord is about to make a new beginning to replant man because all flesh had corrupted itself. Woo, wow. And Noah's living in that generation. How do you think he didn't give place to all the people around him, the influence, the impact? Why this one man didn't give place to it? What do you think he didn't?
Well, I see that when you're walking in the faith, as we are told in the Word to, you know, walk by faith and not by sight, you know, then you wouldn't even worry about, quote, you know, getting, quote, along with man, adjoining to him. It's something about walking in the God kind of faith where your belief and trust is totally in the Lord. So anyone that is opposed to it, you're not worried about, you know, getting with them. I believe, brother, too, that in this about faith with Noah, this is something, too, that God was showing, and I'm not trying to pick this broadcast to quote this, my brothers and sisters who believe this, but I believe that this is by the faith he was trying to show those who are preaching the rapture. Because in the Bible, he used the illustration of as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And Noah, by faith, not only had to build an ark, but he had to have the faith to believe God would keep him in the ark while this flood had come. And the Lord told me years ago and showed me how that the pre-trib rapture that they be teaching about is not true, because he asked me, he said, where was Noah when the flood hit? I would say, Lord, he was here on earth. He said he was here on earth in a consecrated place. Okay? That ark was a consecrated place, place where God had him in protection. And it takes faith to believe God and to believe God would keep you in the midst of trouble, confusion,
and
when
judgment,
these things
destruction.
Hit. Amen. And judgment and destruction. Amen.
Yeah, that's a great one, a point that God illustrates to us, that his deliverance, he could have just snatched them up, right, and took them out,
right,
and it would, right, but that's not the way he did it. He used a pattern and an illustration, because Jesus said in the Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now, why did Jesus say that? Why did he use Noah as an example, illustration, how and what's going to take place at his second coming? He said, just like it was in the days of Noah.
Amen.
So shall it be at the coming, at his second coming of the Son of Man. And we go back and see what took place. You brought up the point that he didn't snatch him out and tell him, "No, I ain't gonna let you go through this. No, I'm gonna take you, snatch you out." But he made a plan, and the plan was called redemption and deliverance. And the ark represent a place where God places you. It shall not come nigh thee, but you shall pass
right
through it. So we see that Jesus made that statement in Matthew about the end of the world and used Noah as an example, right?
Amen.
And his family. And so people have to look at one of the things they have to look when they say, how is it the second coming of Christ? Is it going to be, you know, a secret rapture? You're going to snatch him out and come back 7 years and the flood will be gone, something like that. But you notice he began to explain that. He said one was taken and one was left.
Right.
Wow, he's another straight. He said, when the destruction came, one is taken, one is left, one remains.
Amen.
Why do they confuse that? They think the one that was taken is taken in the rapture. No. You read the whole book. They didn't read the whole book what Jesus said. See, a lot of people take things out of context. Read the whole chapter of 24, Matthew, what he says is going to take place. And he explains itself. He explains it. And he explains it that the one that's taken is taken in the destruction and judgment and removed. And the one that remained is delivered in the secret place, like Noah was. Okay, we could get on that point all day long, and we'd get argument from people, oh, no. I said, okay, no good. It's all good. But how do you think he endured, brother, seeing all this total corruption and rebellion, and he's standing by himself with a message that everybody's refusing to hear?
My God, yep.
How do you think after about 10 years, you might have fared, or I myself may have fared under that kind of condition after 10 years, I got to build the boat, I got to build the Ark of Deliverance, and I got all this extra help. Wait a minute now. I got to build a what they call a boat or a ship or whatever they want to call an ark to the saving of mankind and the animals to go in. Now, wait a minute. Isn't that such an awful, such a great responsibility? And he has only got his three sons? Notice it doesn't say, you know, the Bible that we read don't have all the information. The Bible only gives called a abridged version. So
right,
we don't have all the details about everything that God did and spoke in the abridged version of the Bible. But it didn't say too much about his son, so nothing during that generation. It just said he had three sons. Why? But during 120 years, that's a whole lot of stuff took place, didn't it?
it did.
I mean, the three sons could have said, you know how human beings are. We all, and the three sons said, hey, our friends are having fun. People, our kinfolks, they don't believe this stuff. And we got us, we out here building an ark, and everybody's laughing at us. And everybody's having a fun and good time, our family, our loved ones, and we out here building an ark on dry land. Now, here's
right
what's amazing about the part about faith. It had never rained on the earth. Now, let's get this now. You got a message about an ark going to be a way of deliverance, and God's going to send a flood, right, to destroy all flesh, right?
Right.
It has, but it had never rained. So where is this ark going to do? There is no ocean. There's no river. There's no sea. It had never rained upon the earth. So how do you think you dealt with that? People are looking at you, hey, this man got building their boat on dry land, no water, no sea, no nothing. Time is going to rain.
Yeah.
After about 15 years, what do you think you'd be thinking, brother, after about 15 years of that, you know.
That this is the most rewarding but also challenging walk that I ever walked in my life. I'll probably think it on that way, brother.
Lord, you know, but it's the most rewarding. And, you know, brother, you know, when you talk on this topic of the faith, you got so many people think it's nothing to walking in Christ. You know, you hear all these people brag about how strong they are, how great they are. I said, just walk this way. I said, I'll give you one day. That's what I give you. I give you one day to walk under your own power this way. I said, you couldn't take it.
Yeah.
It has to be by faith.
But Noah got a message that's contrary to human nature and common sense. Are you crazy? Are you foolish? It don't make no sense. We're going to be delivered. Destruction going to fill the whole. I don't believe no shit. How he's going to destroy with a flood? There ain't no water, no river. What you talking about? Ain't no rain. Ain't never. You talking about somebody told you a message that God said, I'm going to destroy this generation. All flesh has corrupted itself and get into the ark. The ark was a sign of repentance and changing their minds. And the ark representing a place of deliverance of the change of mind and change of heart to enter into a place of deliverance. And their hearts did not change. But I'm worried about he got three sons. They got three wives. What do you think they were saying? Now, let's go look at you have to look at the pattern of scriptures to know how human. If you go through the Bible, there's a pattern of human beings. And how they react when you talk about believing something that seems impossible. Now, he got three sons, and they got three, you know, wives, and Noah got his own wife, and he, you know, somebody's murmuring and complaining, who you think? That might come up?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, minute. I can't go bowling no more. I can't go to my knitting, my skinning. I can't go listen to my Marvin Gaye record. I got to build on this boat. Wait a minute in here. You're taking the fun out of life.
Amen.
Noah, are you sure you heard from the living God?
Yeah.
This don't make no sense. 25 years done passed. How do you think some of your loved ones would respond to that? You're on this assignment. It's foolish. So it's seemingly foolish assignment. This one man. Hallelujah.
Right.
How you think they might?
Right. Well, you know what, brother? That's what I believe that some who have, you know, you hear some guys say, well, I'm going to be a preacher. I'm called to be a preacher. But do you realize the message that you carry or that you're going to carry? It's going to require faith. You know, people associate faith with just like getting money or getting healed, and that has a part. But what about faith to carry the message? When the household and all the family folks, you know, looking at you and now they're starting to call you crazy because you have delivered a message from the Lord, they ain't seen nothing happen, and it takes faith to continue to carry that message, you know, until the manifestation comes. And I do believe, brother, that many don't look at that, and they just so quick, oh, I'm going to be a pastor. I said, okay. First of all, you better know you called to be that. I said, number two, you better get prepared by faith to carry the message that you've been given by God.
Wait, waiting on your calling is not too good. Okay, waiting. Listen, Noah was 600 years old. I said Noah was 600 years old when this assignment came, this call to deliver the world. 600 years old. So Miss Noah had to be about, I don't know, 400, 300 or whatever. Amen. I mean, you had to be in good shape, brother, to build a boat that's over a 1 foot. The boat was, the length of the boat was over one length of a football field, about 10 yards. 10 or 20 yards. You know how long a football player field is? 110 meters. That was the length of the boat. Well over a football field. That's the length. The height of the boat, I understand from the measurement, is well over a three-story building. So now he got to build this length and height and measurement, and God gives him instruction. Do you think he got weary and tired and somewhat frustrated because, you know, he got to deal with his sons now. He got with the women. You know, women, they deal with things a little 120 years, and we got to break off all our activity and focus on our way of deliverance. Now, that don't suit too well often with women. Wait a minute. Hold on. I got to go to cousin so-and-so house. They having the fun down now. No, we ain't got time for that. We got to smoke the little reefers there. Wait a minute. No. Wait a minute. Hold on. I got to go to an entertainment show. In the show. No. We got to focus on the assignment. We're on a timeline. We got a certain time to finish this task. Noah had a timeline and instructions. And he had to build the boat, the ark, out of certain things. That lets you know salvation and redemption, the plan of God must be exactly the plan of God you must be in if you're going to survive or be delivered. Because Noah was told what to build the boat out of and what the measurement of the boat. And he had to stay within that measurement. So, Brother Noah, hey, he's kind of standing out with me, man, because that kind of thing, after 40 years of being laughed at and being joked at, it's kind of, I would say, very difficult to hold your faith and your commitment. You know what makes me say one thing about Noah? During that 600 years, he had to get real acquainted with the God of Adam and Abel. I said he had to get really acquainted. Did you get that?
Amen.
That this kind of faith to recognize the voice of God and the visitation of God didn't come overnight, that he had to get real acquainted with a measure of trust and faith during that 600 years that he lived before the call came. Nor, I'm going to destroy all flesh. They have corrupted themselves. I want you to warn them. But ain't nobody listening. Great God, eternal God, there's nobody responding. Warn them. Warn them. Blow the trumpet continually. Blow the trumpet of warning. Okay. Well, that was Noah was my man, and that a hallmark of faith. Noah got my attention, boy, because he had to endure. You know, you got to, in this walk, you got to learn what endurance means. The word endurance, Abraham endured. Abraham was told that he was going to have a special child, a special seed. When the Lord spoke to Abraham, he was 75 years old and said, you're going to have a baby. I'm getting older and I ain't got no babies. 25 years later, Lord, I ain't got no baby yet. I thought you told me I'm going to have a baby. And I'm 100 years old. I can't bear no children now. Man, you got to know the living God because you have to learn how to endure and hold your faith that God is faithful. Because Miss Sarah said, maybe you made a mistake. Maybe God made a mistake. Or maybe you made a mistake. I'm 99 years old, and you're 100 years old. What are you talking about talking? We're going to have a baby. Well, what's going on here? Are you sure you heard from the Lord? And it's 25 years. Ain't nothing happened. Wait a minute. We can't even produce one. So I look at these men of faith. All right. What do you think? And you know, I got kind of, I don't want to offend nobody because we all make mistakes in this life and we need the Lord's help in everything. How do you think Noah's able to endure all of those things, and how Abraham had kept going to the promise that was yet before him? How do you think they was able to hold what we call enduring faith, endure and complete trust it? They learned how to trust them completely. Hallelujah. Until we understand how to totally trust him, we have to have a series of things in our lives that bring us to that point called unwavering faith. Unwavering faith and complete trust in the one that you've been walking with for years, because Noah had to been walking with him for years and years. And just like Enoch walked with God and was not found. I don't know how many years, but Enoch said that he died. Enoch was caught up, and he was. So how many years would Enoch walk and Abraham walk in to get that kind of faith? And God get them to the place of obedience, total obedience. It's not overnight. Okay.
Right.
All right. Enduring faith. Enduring faith. Enduring faith. Enduring hardness like a good soldier. Now, in our day, brother, there are men and women that has God in our day. And can you think of any generation in the last 150 years? I'm going to read a couple of men of faith and commitment that God choose, that the living God choose. I'm going to name some names right quick. And anybody that strikes you, Martin Luther, Jonathan Edward, John Wesley and his brother, Charles, Calvin, William Booth, Roger Williams, Billy Sunday, Dwight Moody, Judd Hudson. Oh, let's see. Let's see. William Seymour, Charles H. Mason, Smith Wigglesworth, William Booth, Oral Roberts, Jack Cole, W.B. Grant, Billy Graham, Morris Cirillo, A. Allen, William Brannan. Anybody in the last 100 and 130 years in among that 50th year that you feel that they paved the way for many things to happen? Any of these men?
Well, three men stand out to me. Smith Wigglesworth, Kenneth E. Hagin, and Brother David Terrell. And I'm not saying the other brothers don't, but I look at, you know, Smith Wigglesworth, his faith really in believing God for, you know, and if I'm not mistaken, and correct me if I'm wrong, brother, I think during his time too, wasn't there a plague or something that was happening and people were dying? I don't know what they hit with the other brother where people were dying.
John Lake.
I think it is.
John
okay,
Lake.
John Lake, okay. Okay, that's the comment. Okay. But Smith Wigglesworth and this day and time, especially brother Kenneth E. Hagin, with him having that what they said was incurable disease, and how God delivered him in the faith that he showed. Once he rose up, once God healed him and rose him up, you know, this is a brother, and he taught about faith. That's one. And Brother David Terrell, his faith in God, especially when it comes in dealing with the area of fasting and prayer.
Consecration.
I've seen him,
consecration, yeah.
Oh, man. I've seen
consecration
wow.
and dedication on like few men, a life of a consecrated, committed. Yeah, David Terrell. These men were the pathfinders and opening that the Lord used to prepare for things that are happening today. I started with Martin Luther in the 1500 or 15th century when he was a Catholic priest. And the Catholic Roman Church ruled in that day and took the place of the real church. And the Roman Catholic has taken its place at that day in the 15th century, and primarily it ruled in mostly the known world, especially the English-speaking world. He was a priest, brought up, I think it was a bishop or whatever, and the Lord speaks to him, and he got to come against the most powerful religious institution at that day, the Roman Catholic Church. He got to defy and knew what that means, death. In that day, the Roman Catholic, they didn't deal with you, brother. They kill you. They cut your head off. You understand that now? They did just like the Muslims do today, cut your head off. Back then, the Roman Catholic, if you come confound a heretic against what the Pope said at Catholic Church, they cut your head off, brother, put you in prison. You might get 30 or 40 life in prison, but most of the time they chopped your head. The Roman Catholic killed so many people back in that day. Hallelujah. And Martin Luther defied them, for he heard the voice of the living God, and he was troubled. So the next one is Jonathan Edwards, Wesley Brothers, Calvin, William Booth, Roger Williams, Billy Sunday, Dwight Moody, Judd Hudson, John Lake, C.H. Mason, William Seymour, William Brannan, Oral Roberts, Jack Cole, W.B. Grant, Morris Cirilla, A. Allen, David Terrell. So any other that stands out that paved the way?
And I would say William Brannan, and you know William Seymour, what he had to endure during the time of the Azusa Street Revival, what he had to go through, even having to stand on faith in Christ Jesus, even when there was discrimination. I have to say he stick out. To me, men of faith, and still, you know, believe in God.
You know what, brother? In America, even during this great American nation, with the Constitution and civil rights, in America still, during the 20s and 30s, in certain parts of America, blacks and whites could not even worship together.
Yeah.
See, America has a lot. It's the greatest nation, the most powerful and wonderful nation. But we have to understand why judgment and things are happening to America. Do you know in the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s that certain churches in America, in a greater part of America, you were not allowed to worship together. Even you're supposed to be going to a separate heaven. One,
yeah.
What do you think about that? That in that day, in the 30s and 40s, some of these ministers would not hold, you could not be in the same church seating in certain parts of the South, or else they'll pick you out and hang you and cut you, and you could not enter into white churches, but they all for be going to a white heaven. Is that right?
Right.
Now, this is the evil that America don't want to remind you. Do you know some of this stuff is still going on in America?
Amen.
See, America wants to act like these things just is not prevalent and this evil still don't exist. But in the South, you could get hung if you went into a white church as a black person set out. You could get hung. But they're talking about Jesus in the Bible and going to heaven. Now, what kind of Christianity was going on in certain parts of America?
You know, they had a sister come here in the year, this was in the year 2000, I think she came. She come here to hear Durant, and she got an eye-opener. You know, she's used to blacks and whites from where she came from, you know, worshiping and praying in the same building. Together. When she come here to Durant, she went to one of the churches, and it was an all-white church. And as she got to talking with them, because I guess she had service with them or something, it came up about the color people. And they told them, said, we don't get together with them. And she was blown away. I mean, she talked to me about it. I said, sister, you coming to this place. This high has been, okay? It's been this way for years. Now, of course, there have been some changes that has happened since then, the year 2000. But that's what she was coming into. She wasn't used to, you know, that just kind of blew her away, brother.
Well, I think You think heaven was alarmed about all this evil in the earth in a free Christian nation, that even in the 19, 18 centuries after the Civil War and the Constitution drawn up, that there were people who were reading the same Bible we're reading, who said they believe in the same Jesus that died on the cross, and would take you out and hang you and put a cross up there called Ku Klux Klan, that we believe in a white Jesus and a white Bible and a white heaven. And when the Ku Klux Klan would get you, they always have a cross. Do you know that? Why they always, Ku Klux Klan, when they kill and burn and kill, but they always have this big cross in the name of the Bible, yeah, in the name of Jesus, a big burning cross. See,
right.
Why do you think that they were doing God a service by burning or killing black people in the South? And worship, you could not even worship. And it also was going on in the northern part, but they was more subtle with it. Okay, let's move on. And thank God there's been some improvement in America. Some. But do you think the Lord was going to receive the people that had that kind of heart, they were going to get into heaven?
Oh, uh-uh. Ain't none of that going on up there. No. Ain't none of that going on up there in heaven, so.
Oh, so only the righteous and the pure in heart. So, and so this is why men need the gospel of Christ and the power of God to transform their hearts and lives. And that's why the love of Jesus has to really strike you real good. All right. Okay. Everybody on the line, I got two more scriptures there. Let me see. I got a couple of minutes here. I want you to get the word of the Lord, the angel's message. And I want you to read something about the Lord using other people to prepare the way for the Elijah message, the last call of God, the midnight cry. The angel messenger says, and this is very important to the people that's in the restoration and the Elijah message to understand this. The Lord says something very peculiar in the 86th message and 46th verse about using has used other people, other men and women of God, just like he used Cirilla and Hagin and Braddon and Smith Wigworth and John Lake, and even used some women to further the cause of Christ. Oh, these great men like Sunday, Dwight Moody, Spurgeon and Finney. Spurgeon and Finney is my favorite. Charles Spurgeon Finney was one of my favorite men of God that God used in the late 1900s and in the 800s. Now, the messenger of the Lord that comes today speaks about these men and women. Message 86 and 46. 86 message and verse 46. Verse. What is he saying to us today? The word of the Lord coming from the courts of heaven, the messenger of the Lord. 86 and 46.
There are many the Lord has called that represent his word and are doing a mighty work. When they hear this message, the words I bring from the Lord, and the Spirit reveals to them it is true, they shall accept it in their calling to higher work. They will be filled with overflowing, to overflowing with power to represent Christ and his church, the Lamb's bride. Overwhelming with the power and the Spirit and the working of miracles are many of the gifts of the gospel. Hear, O hear, ye ministers of peace, and God will give you the soul-winning power. Come all the way.
Now, just in case people think that God, that Jesus has not raised up many people in every age, in every dispensation, he has raised up mighty men and women and used them for that day and their time to speak and do the works of God in their time and season. Now, I want you to understand, the messenger says that we have to acknowledge that God has used many, many other people to prepare the way. Let's turn to message 87. Then we see where the women message, the angel message 87 at verse 9. Verse 9.
87 and verse 9. The Lord has used others in great works to prepare the way for the words I bring to find their place in the lives of those in this nation, as well as others. Let's see.
Okay, read that again, longer. Verse 9.
Okay. So the Lord has used others to, in great works to prepare the way for the words I bring, to find their place in the lives of those in this nation, as well as others, even his servant, Norbert.
You mean tell me that the angel saying that God, that Jesus Christ, has used other people in bygone years, for example, like some of the men in the 19th century, like Sunday, Moody, Wesley, John Lake. You mean he has raised up and they did a mighty work, a great work? Are you sure the Lord used many other people? They are his servants? Wow. Let's go to verse 13
says, the Lord has preserved many to help. Those now in this work with you are the Lord's planning. Okay, the time is short for the great work to be done. Be kind to all men and you will win favor with God and man. My mission is one of love.
Now that's amazing. The Lord has preserved many. Has preserved many. Let's go to message 88, verse 4.
There are many that seek earnestly to represent the Lord. They do well. Let them hear my message more over the word of the Lord that I bring from his presence. Let them come in by the door, receive of this calling, and labor as the Spirit would direct, shaping their lives by the words I bring, that their works may stand the test.
Wait a minute, brother. Are you saying that the Holy Ghost, that God has used people that's not a part of this work, that he approves of? He put his approval on their life, approval on their works, that they've been sent, just like in our generation, we had all these people in the 1900, like John Lake and Alexander Dow and Billy Sun and Dwight Moody and Finney. You mean that he used all these people? He put his approval on their ministry and their works? That's amazing. Even back all the way from Martin Luther all the way down, using people to do great and mighty things? That's amazing, brother. He put his approval on them. And he wants them to accept this work, this authority, and move on with, because they already have the training from Christ. They already have the ways of the Lord. They know the ways of God. They already know. They've been walking with him. They're doing his mighty works. Let's read one more here before we turn over to the sisters. Message 89, angel's message being brought to mankind, the Elias, the word from the throne telling us that God has used many other people and continues to use many people who are not a part of this work yet. 89, verse 9.
The Lord has those in his deliverance plan in every clime, nation, and people, in every land under the sun. He would that all would quickly receive this authority and trust of the holy priesthood of God after the order of his holy Jesus. Receive the baptism that I bring, the plan of God. Let the hands be laid upon them that their works may stand the test. Suffer it to be so to fulfill the full plan of God in the authority I bring.
Why is the Lord speaking to us about these other people and other ministries that he has sealed, that he has accepted, that he has raised up? And they are his people and they're doing a mighty work. And they're doing great things and mighty things. Wow. That's amazing. Let's read the last one, and then we'll go to our sisters. The angel also reminds us that we're not the only one that the Lord is dealing with, though some people may think that. Message 90:25, that he got millions of other people and ministries and works that he's put his seal of approval on. Message 90:25.
The angel praise the message, Lord of the vineyard. Pray the Lord of the vineyard to send forth men of renown and faith to work in this way. Let the women help all they can. There is much to be done.
Okay. Now, what do you glean from that last word from the Lord? He's saying in that in verse 25.
He said, praying for the Lord of any to send forth men and of renown and faith to work in his way. So there are men, you know, outside, let's say the Church of Christ, the lies of message, who are born again and walking in faith with God. Men are renowned that are well known, and God has sent us to pray that they will be sent in his way because, you know, even of the influence they have with others to draw others his way. He said, let the women help all they can. You know, there's much to be done. He said, let the women help. Many times when God uses the word let, he's telling something to get out the way or someone. Okay, so he said, let the women help.
Oh.
Okay, so he's telling somebody to get out the way. Okay.
Yeah, that could be some lack of understanding and people blocking and standing in the way of the move of God. But I think as I read this, about these other people who God is using in every part of the earth, faith and renown, people that are walking with God and being manifesting his word that he has given them and being faithful over it and using and being led of the Lord. He said, these are my servants. These are my ministry. Many of them I've called up and they're doing a mighty work. And I want you to pray that I'll send them this way so they can get this work done and in all the earth. Now, he's telling us to pray that's in the Elijah message for these faith people of renown, like David Terrell, Maurice Cirilla, Kenneth Hagin, Oral Roberts, just go on down the list. All the pray that they'll come and accept this authority of the priest of God and move onward. Well, I don't think we understand that the Lord has said, I have other people that's not of this fold yet in the Elijah message. They are my people. They are my sons and daughters. They are my ministry. And they are doing a mighty work. You know what he said? They're doing a mighty work. He said, many represent my word. They're doing a mighty work. Now, the Lord, they're doing his works. So everybody's not a fanatic because they are walking by the power of the Holy Spirit like the book of Acts. Because they speak in tongues and prophesy, do miracles and heals and signs and wonders. All right. I thought I'd remind other people that God's got other people, and he said they're doing his mighty works, and he wants them to come this way to receive his authority because they've already been trained in the works of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And some of them are already filled and baptized in the Holy Ghost and walking in Christ and miracle signs and what and doing great works, and he has approved them, and he has prepared them to come all the way in the plan of God, and that is to accept his priesthood authority. Because they already know about spiritual things. They're already versed. They've already been trained well how to walk and do the works of God. Thank God for Jesus. So it's important that we read the angel's message and understand it and not get puffed up in thinking that we have a monopoly on the things of the living God. Let them come forth and receive this, that their works might stand and tell. Now, notice what he says. By them hearing this message and this word of the Lord, that their works would stand the test. Because at the end, our works are going to be tested. He didn't say they're going to be lost. He said their works are going to be had to be tested. Okay, now. Okay, do we have anybody yet? This is Handmade Night out there.
We got Sister Anderson. God bless you, Sister Anderson.
God bless you, brothers. God bless you. Thank God for you.
Okay, it's your time. Whatever the Lord give you to do is your time.
Well, I thank and I praise the Lord for that enlightening word. I would just have to use that word, enlightening word that came forth tonight. And just thinking about that, that God have a plan of redemption in every age. And my mind went to the angel's message. You know, that's the plan for this age. Is this is the deliverance, redemption? Is this Elijah message that people do not want to accept? I've had people to tell me. I had a pastor to tell me, well, man wrote the book and he just should admit that he wrote the book. People, they just cast this off without consulting the Lord about it. And that's one thing that I say. Anyone that need to, I know the brother says it all the time, don't take my word for it. Go and ask and seek the Lord about whether it is true or not. Because anyone, and this is just my opinion, but I would say accepting this word, coming into this way, get yourself a witness that it is true and that is from the Lord. Because if you do not have a true witness from the Lord, you're not going to stay. And I thank God that Noah, I was listening to the message about Noah and how he withstood, how he was laughed at and talked about for the 120 years he preached to the people about salvation, and they was going on marrying and giving in marriage and having their fun. It's the same way today. And that secret place, that place that God put Noah in the ark, is this word today, this deliverance word that God is sending today to deliver us. And this is the plan for us in this day, for God's people in this day. This angel's message, this word of the Lord, is the plan for this day. And I thank God for all of the people that paved the way, that, you know, the brother you named them. I was trying to write down the names. I didn't get them all. Martin Luther, John Wesley, John Henry William, you know, like Seymour and Brother Hagin and all the people that paved the way before. Because, you know, the word says that God have 10,000 times 10,000 waiting. They're waiting. But to make you think, you know, why are they waiting? And my mind immediately goes to Brother Terrell. I remember Brother Terrell did. He was called in the word of the Lord, by the Lord, and he came. But the message that God has given these men to preach, the people are not ready. They're not prepared. So the Lord got to get, I'm going to say, the people that's in the prayer, they are in the church and in the work already. The Lord got to prepare them, because they can't receive this word that the Lord has prepared these other men to bring. They cannot receive it. So they have to be prepared before they can come in. Men like Brother David Taylor and, you know, a lot of these other men, the word that God has given them, the truth and the deliverance word. And I thank God that the brothers have been coming forth on the broadcast. They've been delivering this word. They've been delivering this word. And I'm just going to have to say, and I'm praying for you brothers, that it's not accepted by everybody, but it is the truth. And all you have to do is search the word. Search the word. That's what the brother said. Don't take my word for it. Go to the Lord for yourself.
Amen.
And ask him. And I thank God for this word myself, because I know even it was just a witness to me and the message that came forth tonight, that this word of the Lord brought to mankind by an angel, that is the plan. That's the plan for me in this day and time. That's my deliverance. Thank God for it, because that's my redemption. That's my redemption. And I know it's true, and I take a witness. I went back and got a second witness to make sure that this witness is true.
Yes. I tell everyone, get an adequate, complete confirmation. Not one. Whenever the Lord do test something, you have to build it, the testing, the three or four ways the scripture say that prove it to the test. If they would take time, if people would take that time and put it to the test, not their tradition, not their thoughts, not their mind, put it to the scriptural test. Run it through the testers like you do gold, and run it through this fire, burning fire. Put it to the test, and never rely upon one witness alone, because one witness can be shaken.
Yes.
Every house, a foundation is built on more than one stone. So make sure you build the witness on the four foundation stone of testing everything, whether it come from God. The thing I want to say, as we read about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all of the great men before us, and they had a word from the Lord. They had a work to do in their time, in their season. Now, listen, this is why we don't fully understand the plan and purpose of God. the people in this generation that we're living in 100 years, they get set in their own little revelation and think that God has given them all of it and they don't need anything else.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is the mind they had in Martin Luther's day when he said the just shall live by faith.
Yes.
That principle had to come back, the just shall live by faith. Now
yes,
that people
yes.
have been every God has raised up men and women and still raising them women, and they have great power given to them in their faithfulness to the word he given in their dispensation. When he gave Wesley this message, John Wesley, to bring a restoration and reformation, and then he gave first Jonathan Edward, and then he came and raised up all these other men from 19, Dwight Moody had a message from God. Just like
yes.
today, when we reject these men, and having
mm-hmm.
a work and a ministry and calling from God, we are fighting against God, just like they
mm-hmm.
when they fight against this message. See, we think, in the Church of Christ, lies, many of us think that we can reject these people in ministry and still be in the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
We have the understanding that we can reject them on the basis that we have the priesthood authority. And so the Lord has told us, these are my servants. He sent people here that are my servants. Many of them are my servants. Test and see whether they're his servants.
Yes,
when Daniel Rogers' father came, who had been walking with the Lord and had visions and revelation of the work of God, he came to Brother Dre's. He said, you want me to accept your angel's message. I want you to ask the Lord, if my work that I get from God, I want you to tell me, if you accept what God has given me, I will accept what you have been given. But first of all, I want you to find out what God has given me, the plan of God. Go and tell me. And Brother Dre went and prayed, and he saw all what the Brother Rogers had been given was part of the plan of God. He said, I accept your work, and what God has given you is true. And so now he's ready to accept this fullness about the Elijah message. You see, you can't reject God's vessel on the basis that I reject Brother Terrell because I Kenneth Hagin, he's not a man of God, because I reject a Wesley message. See, here is the foolishness of people. That's why he says, that's why the messenger angel says, I will send many this way.
Yeah.
I will send many men and women that already know the works of God and working the works of God. I will send even women who have a firm relationship with Christ. And if you reject them on the basis of your pride or your self-righteousness, then we'll be held accountable because we got it all. No, we don't have it. We have the priesthood authority to represent. They have the authority to represent his word that he's given to them.
Yes.
All they need is this priesthood authority that he's given, the complete plan of God, and move on with. And so we have to be careful about rejecting these people. Go, well, they're Pentecostal, and they're full gospel, and they're this, and they're that, and they're not of God. We have turned many people away.
Yes.
That was
Amen.
Set and authentic of God
mm-hmm.
because of our man traditional thinking. So let us do and understand more when he says in Message 90:25, he told the Church of Christ with Elijah message and restoration, pray.
Yes.
That's a command. Pray
mm-hmm.
that men of faith and renown come this way.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
If they come this way, you can push them away and you
mm-hmm.
can turn them away. I know everybody's not legitimate, and you got to test
mm-hmm.
everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the messenger said, I will send many this way. I'm talking about men of God and women of God already know the works of God and doing the works of God. And they are approved of me. They are approved of me, said the Lord. So he's now telling us, let us be wise when I send people that
mm-hmm.
already been trained and prepared to come this way, to take that final step of the full plan of Christ.
what?
Yes, Lord.
Redemption. Redemption, reconciliation, restoration,
yes,
preservation, and deliverance.
Jesus.
Your full plan.
Lord.
All right. We respect Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because they were 2,000 years ago. But if we had
mm-hmm.
lived in that day, we gave them the same problem we're giving people today.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
I said we would give those men. We read in the Bible, oh, I believe Abraham, Isaac. That's because there was 2,000 back before 3,000. Because the people in that day gave them the same problem that we're
mm-hmm.
being confronted today with.
Yeah.
Yes. We got Abraham's type of people today. We got some Elijah type of ministries. We got the same kind of Noah's type ministries.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, Teddy, I don't believe them
mm-hmm.
because we have a monopoly. We think we have a monopoly on everything. We have
mm-hmm.
to be delivered from this.
Yes,
we have to be delivered from our own self-pride. Surely
mm-hmm.
we recognize the Holy Priesthood authority of the Son of God brought by Elijah. But that don't mean we have a monopoly on the ministry and the calling of God that he's sending this way to further the cause of salvation and the kingdom of God. Let us be wise and humble and not,
amen.
Well, you know, Brother Garkas came, the 10th preacher. And remember, you don't know him. God had sent an angel to him 3 nights and gave him and called him to a ministry, and he had all 9 gifts of the Spirit, and he was a 10th preacher doing the works of God, working miracles and all that kind of stuff. So he sent to the Elijah message, and he's come here, and he accepted the message and the baptism and the ordination. But guess
yeah.
what?
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, William Branham. Do you know that William Branham, the greatest healing deliverance ministry of the 1940s and 50s, that he came and met Brother Dre's? He was called in Message 52 to this work, and he went on to become the greatest healing deliverance ministry of this century. The Lord's going to send people this way. And we know that David Terrell is very, very chosen vessel of God, and many people can't accept him, because there has to be a prepared people just to receive these people. We're talking about we want people to receive this message, but we have to be prepared to receive them in their ministry.
Yes.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
our time has come almost. We've got 5 minutes left. And
amen.
So, Sister Anderson, use that 5 minutes how the Lord put in your heart and your mouth to do it. I don't know if Sister Helen on the line or not, but we got 5 minutes left. So may the Lord bless you and wisdom. Use those 5 minutes, whatsoever way the Lord use you to do.
Well, I thank and I praise the Lord. And I would have to say, and I was talking to, well, matter of fact, I've been talking to, you know, like people about the word and everything. And, anyone that's out there within ear range to hear this message that's going forth on this Blog Talk Radio, I would admonish you to go to the Lord, ask him about it, ask him if it's true, because I'm telling you, this world is in trouble. And if you can't see it with your natural eye, go to the Lord and ask the Lord about it, because it is time to go to the Lord and repent. Come to him with a sincere heart and a broken spirit. Repent, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I give my life over into your hands for you to wash me and to clean me and to purify me with your holy blood, because I'm telling you, this world is in trouble. You haven't seen the trouble. And I thank God that he's enlightening me to the fact that I am working to prepare to be ready when Jesus comes. I thank him.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I want to say as we close to all the women and all the people in every part of the world, the gospel of redemption, reconciliation, sanctification, and hope and deliverance is in Christ. By the way,
If you're not sure something is from the Lord, first the thing you want to do is search the scriptures, what the prophet says, then go see what the apostles said, then go and then search the scriptures, what Jesus taught, and then check, does it contradict the gospel of Christ? And then humble yourself before the Lord and wait before the Lord to verify completely in your life. Jesus is Lord, and he's coming, and he's sending a voice called Make the Crooked Way Straight, the Midnight Cry by the Angel Elijah. We love you. Read your Bible, pray, give your heart to Jesus, be baptized in Christ in the name of Jesus Christ, and refilled with the Holy Ghost, and then find a group of believers that believe all of the scriptures and all of the gospel.
Amen.
Thank God for another blessed broadcast. Thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget tomorrow, another Gospel Demand broadcast. Look for the advertisement on tomorrow night. So once again, we thank God for all you that have been listening. As for Brother Lee and Brother Nate and Sister Anderson, we love you all. God bless you and God keep you.
Let your power fall.
Amen. God bless.
With your name.